Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate, and I'm here with my co-host, Amanda. And today we are going to be talking about some solutions. Last week, we had a conversation really diving into the current situation that we are moving through, the times that we're facing, a lot of change that we're seeing. And we unpacked that a lot from different angles, different perspectives. So if you've missed that episode, you can check out episode 37. And today, what we'd like to focus on is the action side of the times that we're moving through. So with great change comes, I believe, great responsibility and great opportunity for us to be focusing on what it is that we want to see, how we play a role in creating the new. And at the same time, you know, with a lot of change going on that's outside of our control, it can feel very overwhelming, destabilizing, and challenging. So we want to sort of discuss and talk about how we can be best looking after ourselves, how we can really focus on what we are doing to feel resilient and resourced as we move through the changes, and also really how we can align our focus to really get through these times, hopefully to a place that is so much better than we can ever possibly imagine. So as I just said there, I think that we are really in a time where we can think about what it is that's going to happen. We can somewhat try to picture how things are going to turn out. And at the same time, we can only ever imagine a future based on the past, because the only information we have is what we have experienced. That's our only reference point. So as we look ahead thinking, okay, how is this going to go? What's my life going to be like? What are the results that are going to take place? What changes are going to happen? Are they going to be good? Are they going to be bad? We really just, our mind goes back, filters through all the information of our own experiences, of the collective experiences, gathers some information, creates a picture in our head and projects that forward. And for me, this, you know, really, there's a limitation, right? Because I believe that what we're going to be walking through is completely outside of our ability to imagine the potentials. And we've talked a lot in our conversations about our abilities as energetic beings, as creator beings, that we are here to create new. We are here to know ourselves in these roles as creators. And what does that mean? It means being able to see new things, bring them into manifestation, bring them into fruition, bring them into a reality. You know, a chair was once an idea. It was a radical idea, right? Today, for us, it's just like an everyday item that we have in our lives. But once upon a time, that was completely unknown and has transformed our lives. So for me, my opinion, at the time we're in this really potent time of new chairs coming out to the market and who knows what coming out. And so part of what I wanted to say today as we think about our actions, the things we can be focusing on, how do we personally begin to navigate uncertainty on our, you know, macro level out in the world, the things we can't necessarily change, control. The first thing I think is important for people is realizing that you get to create a vision. And so as we move through what we're going through, my invitation, first and foremost, as one of the approaches that we can take is starting to craft our own vision. And I always like to invite people to do so with abandon, right? No restricting that vision based on, okay, well, it didn't happen in the past, so it probably couldn't happen in the future. So putting parameters on the potential that you feel that we could have, the change that really could happen. But if you really went in and just let yourself go for it, what is the vision truly that you would love to see happen? Because without that vision, we're really going to stay within the parameters of what is. So we have to think outside of the box. It makes me think about both yourself and myself and how we live our lives. We've left our home countries. We've created lives outside of structures and ways of being. And so that's an example of how you can begin to sort of think about the vision for your life. Like, how would that change? What would be different? And while in this moment, you may not know how you can create that, how you can do that, let go of the how, hold the vision, create the vision. What is it you want to see? How does it feel for you to, you know, imagine yourself living in a certain way, the world being a certain way, the healthcare system, the schooling system, whatever, being a certain way? And once you've created that vision, I mean, this is sort of, I guess, part of that manifestation process, part of us being creative beings, is that we revisit that and we hold that vision. And what I will say is, and we may have touched on this before in other episodes, is that when we do hold that vision, we feel that we experience it. There's a vibrational shift that happens with that. There's a frequency rise, and that is something that goes out into the collective. And the more of us that are holding that higher vision, or that vision with a higher frequency, that is rippling out into our collective experience. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about, you know, how we can sense what we're feeling in the collective, but knowing that this ability to hold a vision, see more for us, spending time in that vision, and really feeling it in yourself energetically is a powerful way for us to begin to create shift and a sense of possibility for others.
Yeah, I think that we are stepping into a time where, you know, we're all at different phases in terms of our own personal journeys. And some of us are more in the healing phase. Some of us have been doing a lot more personal work. And if we've been in the personal work phase for a long time, it's now time to really start being more intentional with our creations. And so where are we not playing as a creator? Where are we playing in the old? Like, I feel like a lot of us are probably dancing in both worlds, where we are still a little bit perpetuating the old while also playing in the new. And there's, you know, there's nothing wrong where we are, but if we want to shape a new reality, being a lot more discerning and intentional with where we place our focus, place our energy. So I would say that if you're more in the beginning phase of your journey, working on your discernment, right? And looking at what is the energy of what I'm allowing myself to play in, and how's my energetic field? How's my nervous system being impacted by what I'm listening to, watching, things I'm putting out into the world? Am I putting out more? Am I playing in more the land of division and wanting to argue with people? Am I being judgmental of others and maybe their perspectives? Am I really attached to one side or the other? I think this is a time of, wherever we are, is a time of deep introspection and another layer of personal work if we've been doing personal work already. And it almost feels like it's a new phase of it. It's like, okay, we've been in this phase now, and now it's almost like I feel like we've crossed over this threshold that I feel it playing out energetically. I see it in the outside world, and the last 4 years have been really crazy, but I think it pales in comparison to what we are going to see, because it's like all the darkness needs to be seen, and it's like the structures that have had control, they're not going to go down without a fight. And so it's up to us to number one, we need to have new structures in order to move away from the old. We need to have something in place. Like if we don't have options and solutions for these areas of our lives, and that's not to say that we can't be creating them, but we need alternatives, right? And so what can we be doing to play our role? Like what role did you come here to play in regards to creating something new? And like you say, really working on that creation energy, that imagining, that intentionality with what can be, right? There was someone who made a comment online yesterday, and it was from like one side. And from my perspective, I was like, well, would it be so bad if this like other option were to be like, I could see there being positives from the thing that you're saying is so negative. Like I can see positives in that. And what I was saying is not necessarily possible with the current reality, 3D reality of what things are in place at the moment. But at the same time, it's like, are we okay with just staying with the current 3D reality and just accepting that we have to accept this status quo that's been dysfunctional and not serving people, not serving humanity? Or can we vision beyond what is right now to what can be? Yes, it might be beyond like what our minds can logically comprehend as possible, but the things are created in magical ways beyond the logical mind through networks of people and people having, like you say, that shared vision, that shared intention, that higher vibrational energy. Things are going to be created in a way that our minds can't logically comprehend or explain. Mm-hmm. And so I think starting to play in and wonder, it's like, what, like where things aren't working, a situation is not working, let's start thinking outside the box. Let's start what is possible. Like you're saying, beyond, what did you say as far as like no holds bar type? Is that what you said? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sky's the limits, right? Because that's mm-hmm. the time that we're in, and mm-hmm. we're going to be going through massive transformations. And so that's the energy that we want to start playing with in. And so how can we surround ourselves with people who are playing in that energy? How can we hold that energy even amongst people that are doubtful? And maybe the people that are doubtful, I think like that interaction for me, it was like, am I being unrealistic here? And yes, there is an aspect of the now, and there needs to be something that happens between what I'm envisioning and what's currently in place. But there's certain people that maybe feel stuck or like hope, they don't have hope. And maybe it's been so long where things have felt like they are just the way they are. Like, I feel like that's like a thought pattern that, especially like this person was older, and, you know, as we get older, we can just like come to terms with like, that's just the reality of things are like, I'm not going to see this change in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like, I'm not like judging but just acknowledging that that's okay. That's what the perspective that this other person has. And how can I hold a different vision, even if others can't see it, right? Mm-hmm. 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 That we risk being a little bit crazy and like viewed as crazy. Like, that's a term for people that can see things beyond like what is physically here, right? Mm-hmm. And someone who popped in my head as you were talking was Aristotle, and it's like most people thought he was crazy. And right, then you talk about the chair, it's like things that like we have to zoom out from where we currently are and realize that we're going to look back at this time in history and be like, wow, that's so funny that we thought this, but we currently believe right now. Like, that's so cute.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the zoom out is so important because, you know, and again, that's sort of like, It's the expansion. It's the reaching out to the possibility because we are human beings with a mind that looks at its present moment based on what it's happened in the past, right? Like that's how we operate. You know, it is sometimes challenging for us to look into the future and envision it, right? And anything we envision is based on the past. So it's like, you know, zooming out and I don't know, I just imagine as like, you know, rising up above the actual planet, get up into the sort of atmosphere there and like reach out into the full potential and like just let your mind like go, and then go some more and, you know, settle on a vision that feels like completely out there and crazy, but also true and possible and from your heart of what the highest potential could be, whether we realize it and see it in this lifetime or not. But they begin to hold the potential that something completely incredible could come from this for many, many generations in the future. You know, it's like also something you said last week is letting go of our attachments, you know, attachments to how this has to turn out. And I think that kind of has been very much brought up for people through the election was their attachment to who was going to win, how that person was going to create the future that they wanted, their ideas about things like that. But we don't know what we don't know. You know, we don't know that the person you wanted or the person you didn't want isn't going to create the change that's going to lead us forward, or, you know, we just don't know. We only can understand our present moment and the future that we see from the past, our programming, our conditioning, our beliefs, our fears, all the things. We are sort of somewhat trapped all the time in our own experience by our own limitations of our mind. So I guess I really sort of speaking to dropping into the heart too, to feel into like what feels possible, what feels like, you know, in my heart I'd want to have created and envisioned in a life I'd like to live. And as you were talking and you mentioned that as we do that, we find people who share that vision. And I believe that when we do, like that's when we can revolutionize how we are living, how we are being with each other, because we do. We start to find our community, and in community, in that group, we got the manpower as such to create the new, more ideas, that shared energy. So, you know, and as a time like this, it's finding those people to help us create here and now those things that we want to see in our small groups that then may filter out to larger groups. And who knows, we don't know what's going to happen. Something else that you said there too is like, am I being realistic? As you were, you know, approached with somebody's post and their version, their opinion, their perspective. I think now is such an important time to consider all angles. Am I being realistic? Is there more I can see here? What don't I know? You know, and so we open up the conversation to say, well, there is no such thing as right and wrong. You know, there just is something. And, you know, I think we talked about it last week, like there's an elephant in the room, and it depends what part of the room you're in, what part of that elephant you're looking at. So how can you look at more parts of this elephant? You know, I think that, what is it? There's blind people, there's an elephant in the room, and one touches the trunk and one touches the foot, one touches the tail.
I think there's many different versions of this, but yeah, it's like, and we all have a different response because we're all coming from it from a different angle, and whatever we feel and see and experience is real. But it's not the whole truth. It's not the whole elephant.
Yeah. So how can we like broaden in our just willingness to consider other possibilities, other perspectives, other potentials? And again, I always want to do like, I open my hands up with my fingers wide apart and like hold your own beliefs a bit lightly, hold others the same. Like, how can you kind of play with perspectives, angles, different conversations? Like, what can you learn? How can that shape more of your own understanding of other people, other perspectives, and potentially craft for yourself a deeper, broader understanding of the bigger picture? And I think that really helps take us out of that really narrow focus. This is right, that is wrong.
Yeah. I like that you went to the elephant because that was in my mind as well. And it brought me to think about this guy who I've been listening to a lot. He focuses on business a lot, but he has a big personal development, spiritual development angle to him. And one episode he was talking about how the future of the economy is, you know, as we're moving into this AI era, we're moving out of specialization. And I liken that was the example in medical school that was given a lot is like in our current medical paradigm, it's like one specialist is looking at the elephant over here, another one's over here with their little telescopes, very focused in, very good at that little particular area of the elephant, but has zero clue about the other side of the elephant. And they're all do have their own approach and not really addressing the holistic issues that are often underlying most health issues. And that relates to what this guy was saying about how, well, he sees that for us as human beings, we need to become more generalists. We need to become interested in multiple areas, aspects of life, be curious human beings. And that is what's going to determine, you know, how you can make a living in this time where specialization and tasks are being replaced by AI. It's like, how do we become irreplaceable? It's like becoming, he doesn't use this term multidimensional, but that's how I feel. It's like becoming the multidimensional versions that we are. And I think as multidimensional versions of ourselves, we can see and hold multiple perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. We can have our own personal views. We can expand those and we can maybe imagine why someone else might believe and see things the way they do and not need to have to change another human being in order for our truths to still be valid. And I think that's something that we develop through self-cultivation. Something that he gave it as an example, it was like pirates were these human beings that were so diverse in their knowledge and their ability. Like they were able to barter. They knew all the different lands, all the different seas, and they were very skillful human beings, but they got really not intelligent humans to do the work for them. And then they actually had power over the authorities in different lands because they knew they had such a bigger grasp of the world. And then the royalty, they would take their most intelligent humans and they'd put them in these very specialized roles where they couldn't fully expand to their full potential. And so that kept them very limited and it kind of kept the people down. And so I don't even know if this guy knows about Aquarius and the age of Aquarius, but that so represents like what we're moving into is like us moving into like the most actualized individuated versions of ourselves. And so something I had down is that like really taking this time to like get in touch with our own design, like what is it that we came here to do and be? And it's more than just like a profession, like the idea that we are a profession. I think that one is a lot of people have woken up that it's fading into the past, right? Mm-hmm. We are so much more than that. And so it's, if you've been feeling like that hasn't been quite fulfilling for you, now is a great opportunity to start to explore what else is there for you to do and be, and how can you be all those things at the same time and be living in ways that we haven't before, right? Where we're really embracing all the aspects of who we are. And I, you know, I love the gene keys, but our astrology can help with that and human design and just really getting to know like how we are unique and like what are our gifts, and starting to live in alignment with those aspects of us in a much deeper way than we have been. And I think by just like doing that personal work, like what's happening on the outside is just going to kind of like, it's not really going to carry much weight, because there's so much internal excitement and fire, I think, mm-hmm. because like we get to do what we came here to do. And that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I want to say to that, that when we really can feel that purpose alive in us, and what I want to say to purpose first is that, yes, it is not to come here and be a doctor or a whatever. Like we've in the past attached the role to the purpose. The actual purpose is to come here and be the authentic you, the most authentically expressed individual you. And then whatever you do through that expression is just how you are here serving as that unique you. And when you can feel that alive in you, as you just said, like that is a very different experience of our lives. And to me, having that, knowing that, feeling that, we have an internal experience of ourselves in a way that feels, like you said, like we feel powerful because we know ourselves. There's a certainty. There's less fear. There's less doubt. There's our, like, the what's a word I want to say here, like we feel the drive to do and be, and that feels to me as such a grounding force and a grounding energy, because we know ourselves, we know our role, we know our purpose, we know what we need to do. And so it's like the external world and any noise out there is sort of drowned out, because we don't need it to inform us of our what we're here to do, who we're meant to be, how we're meant to show up, the shoulds, all of that. That isn't part of the experience, because it's an inner knowing. It's an embodiment of who we are, and we know there's a knowingness. And in our knowingness, so much of that external influence goes away, because we don't need it to tell us anything, right? It's that sovereignty we talked about last week. So I think that's an incredible point to bring up. And so those tools, like there's, you can do one of them, you can use all three of them. And Amanda and I have both personally explored Gene Keys in depth, and it can be quite an incredible experience to, I think, confirm our knowingness. Because I think as humans, or at least in my experience, I have felt what I, you know, my purpose or the direction I want to take, I've felt it, I've thought about it, and yet at the same time dismissed it. I was like, no, that's not it. It's something else, and continued to look outside of me for some other way to tell me how to do it. And then when I started to really dive into the Gene Keys, I'm like, actually, no, you've known it all along. Like, now it's time to just crack on with it. So really powerful approach to this deeper confirmation of our purpose. And when I say purpose, the us in our purest expression, because everything I learned through those three modalities just confirms more and more of things that I've been feeling to do but afraid to do, because really it is just the most authentic expression of myself. So, you know, a really incredible place to start to explore that.
Yeah, and I think it can reveal maybe things that we've shut down, right? It can help us activate. Mm. And it really can be this active way that as we live, it begins to expand and become even more clear. Like there's layers to it. Like I'm always learning new things from diving back into my astrology or my Gene Keys or even my human design. And as I continue to live and I learn more about myself, things become more clear, new insights are made. And so, yeah, it's something it's like this. It's not like we have one reading, one astrology reading, and we have it figured out. And I feel the call to have another astrology reading, because my astrology for this time, I'm curious to see if someone, an astrologer, has to say with, you know, this Aquarius period that we're entering and all the Aquarius in my chart. Because I was listening to Pam Gregory, and she was talking about, I think it was her, someone, and it was like, well, if you have a planet or something in Aquarius in this degree, the thing coming up is going to be in this year. And if it's in this degree, it's in this year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, that's really interesting. It'll be interesting to see like charting out my life. Because this year has been very interesting. It's kind of a tangent, but this year has been very interesting. And it's almost, I feel it's been like a preparation year for what's to come. Like I've gotten sick like 4 times and it's like clearing stuff out and a lot of introspection work. And so anyway, it's like the more that we know about our own design, it's like the more we can understand that the things that are happening in our lives, it's not just random and it has meaning. Yeah, it just makes more sense. Like, and we can ride the waves of both like the positive and the quote unquote negative in a different way when we know like, oh, it's like, yes, this is some planetary involvement in this experience that I'm having. So definitely recommend that. And then I want to, you know, we talk about zooming out. And I think if we zoom out, we, you know, we can zoom out and see like as a soul in this like time and like we are here. We came here for a reason, right? We came here for this time. Mm-hmm. And as a soul and from a higher perspective, you know, really looking at our fear of death, work on that. If we lessen the, maybe the hold that that fear has over us, we can just accept a little bit more when things feel hard or uncertain. Like we know that we can't control everything and that there's an end date. And I think, yeah, just playing that game of going higher and not getting so stuck in the here and the now of, you know, we're in November 27th, 2024, like whatever drama is happening right now and feeling it's like it's existential. It's like, no, everything that's going to happen, everything is going to work itself out, right? Like if someone fears, you know, climate, like what's going to happen with our climate? Well, you know what? Mother Earth is going to be fine. She's going to be just fine. And so I think something that we can learn to do is worry less. And you know, it's a balance, right? Like we don't want to just like not feel any sense of like purpose or drive. But at the same time, it's like, how much are we worrying about the state of the world? Right. Mm-hmm. And like we say, it's, you know, we got to focus on what we can have influence over. And it starts with ourselves. And from there, you know, we can make a bigger impact on a collective level, once we have more sovereignty in our emotional body and we're not swayed, right? Like a lot of what we're seeing is like, I see it as a manipulation. And if we're constantly being pulled this way and pulled this way, like we're not centered, we're not grounded, we're not able to do that visioning. Like if we are focused on those things, we can't do that visioning, that that creation that is going to be the solution to the things that were, you know, it's this this paradox of like, okay, see the thing, let's come to terms with it, and then okay, what are you going to do about it? It's like it's really stepping out of like that victim mentality of like focusing on the problem. Like, let's focus on what is our solution. And it's okay to focus on the problem, but there comes a time where it's like, okay, what are you going to do about it? And these are things that you can do about it, is really start to step into the role of the creator beings that we are and that we're here to be during this time of like great transformation.
As you say that, there's a coaching tool that comes to mind, and it's like three circles, so like a bullseye. The very center circle is what you can control. The second circle is what you can influence. And the third one is really what you can accept. The idea being that most of the time we want to be focusing here in the center of what is in my control to change, to do. When we step outside of that, we talk to influence. Where can I influence the outcomes or the things that are happening, you know, from a centered, grounded place? Like, okay, but then once we get out to certain another area, maybe there's just some things we have to accept that we have no control over or no influence over. And so, you know, as you said there, there's that's really where we're going, okay, am I in fear? And I think if we're out trying to have a battle with the part we have to just accept because it's outside of our control, we're in fear, we're in victim, and we're, you know, like the barking dog that's just barking, barking, barking. But, you know, like maybe it's just it's somewhat pointless to be hanging out there because we're missing the other two center circles where we have the ability to influence something to be different or really actually have the control to change things. And so that real idea of like love and fear, where are we in the fear or in the love? And as you said, I think a lot of what's going on out there is a pull towards the fear, right? It can be through direct manipulation into the fear and just in general because it sweeps people up into a collective state of anxiousness and anxiety and fear. And so we feel that. So your locus of control there is like, where am I operating from? Am I in the fear or can I move myself into love? And when I say love, it's into that sense of hope and possibility. And curiosity, as you mentioned before, to me is the key that helps us move from those two states. It's what opens us up to the ability to be aware of what am I feeling and what else is here? That curiosity, like, can I move it? Can I see things from a different perspective? That's how we move from a victim state to an empowered state, from fear to love. And something that you also mentioned there was uncertainty. And so, you know, we aren't just going to have a bumpy ride for a year. This might be bumpy for 5 years, could be 10, could be 15, could be 20, we don't know. So how can we learn to be okay with uncertainty? We are in an in-between, you know, the old is breaking down, the new is coming, but we have to create that, as we've mentioned already. Like, but before that happens, there's this really like what the in-between space, this uncertainty. Something I wanted to read was something someone shared with us during the week. It was Charles Eisenstein. He had a workshop or a masterclass or something. We'll link to that. But he has a quote here that I want to read. And he said that if the future is not going to be just some kind of recapitulation of the past, we have to go through a phase of not knowing. When the familiar fades, drops away, and something new arises. If it's really new, we're not going to recognize it in familiar terms. It won't fit into familiar concepts. It will not conform to familiar stories. Then it's new. And aren't we craving something new? Aren't we craving liberation from the concepts, the stories, the institutions, the systems, the governments that have contained us, the habits, the customs that have kept us as a species so miserable, so constrained? Aren't we craving liberation from that? And then he goes on to say, enter as a guest into the house of uncertainty, just for a few minutes, the house of unknowing in the house of unlimited possibility, where our view of the future, our view of the world stage is unclouded by our preconceptions. And we sit here in this uncertainty and in this unknowing, the nexus point of many paths radiating out into the future, a momentary resting spot where in this moment we do not know what path we will take. In this moment, you know that you will choose a path, that the moment for choice will come, that the choice will be revealed to you, but not now. That understanding will come, meaning will come, but not now. And so alongside whatever the emotional generators of the stories were, the grief, the anger, the hope, the joy, whatever it was, alongside all of those things, there's something else that you are aware of right now, a calmness, a light curiosity, and a serenity, alive with possibility, not as a substitute for all of the other things that you're feeling that come from a valid place, but as a companion to them. So that when this unforeseeable new information comes in that will seriously challenge almost everybody, you'll be ready for it. And I loved that because I just think, you know, it really speaks to something that we've spoken to many times too about what are we doing to find ways to be so present in the moment, right? Lots of noise going on, a lot of fear. And we have already said that new is possible, but if we're focused on that past, we're stuck in that fear, we're very much attached to what we know and the past. And for us to see and sense these new chairs that need to be built, these new ideas that are coming forth for us to create, there has to be a sort of place of stillness for us to come to in amidst all the noise. And so for me, you know, learning to be okay with uncertainty, really, how do we do that? It's such a personal thing of like, how do we feel grounded? What helps us feel stable? What are those practices we're physically doing for our body, our energy, our minds, our emotions even? And to me, that's always getting out of our head and into the body. But I also think too that it's also for us really learning to read the energy, ourselves as energetic beings. And we are going through a time, as we've mentioned before, where we're becoming more and more sensitive to that. So increasing our awareness around that, because not all of what we are feeling on any given day is always ours. We are influenced by that collective state of fear. And so if that is the case and we can become more aware of it, sometimes it's just simply to acknowledge that that's what we're feeling and that that's not mine. That's just part of the collective, separating ourselves out from it. Maybe it's like doing something physically to move that energy through you. There's lots of energy tools you can do. You can imagine literally bathing yourself in white light. You can have a shower. You can touch the earth, move energy. You can talk it out. You can write it out. You can sing it out. You can cry it out. But really just starting to discern what energy is yours and what's not, to sort of, you know, start to find that place of centeredness in amongst what can feel like very overwhelming energy around us that, you know, is influencing our energetic state. So becoming more aware of who we are as energetic beings and what that means for us and how to work with energy, I think, is a powerful tool we can add to this process.
Yeah, that's a great point. And also recognizing what is ours and what needs to be looked at and healed within us in order for us to release the patterns of limitation and doubt and judgment and scarcity and all these things that are keeping us in, I'll say, more limited versions of ourselves and not who we fully came here to be. So in that process, it's like, yes, we are picking up on the outside, but it's also helping us to see what's within us that wants to be released and liberated mm-hmm. and move beyond. And so that's a great point. So I had a cool experience this week, specifically with AI. And it's really interesting because my relationship with AI has really come a long way, because I used to be very fearful of it. I used to be like, nope, I don't want to go there. I don't trust the entities that have, you know, have created it. And I don't know who has created it. So I'm not going to go there. And that, you know, I've had multiple experiences over the last year where I've started to use it and explore it, opening my mind to maybe, it's not the doom and gloom that I thought it would be. And as I see it, you know, this is a path that we're going down as a collective. Like, it's going to be a part of our reality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certain individuals that I value their opinion or in what has felt true is how we use it, right? It's how we use this tool that determines how it's going to play out. You know, I guess we have the programming of Terminator and, you know, probably many other dystopian books and films. And so we have this image that, you know, the robots are going to take over the humans and, you know, we're these victims. We have no agency or power in the situation. Back to this week, I had this epiphany that AI is really this liberating tool that will allow anyone to create something financially, you know, looking from a financial perspective, both financially, both like in a self-cultivational way. It has such potential. And really, it's the difference between what I kind of saw in the future is that the difference between, well, I'll say those that have created more and those who have not are those that are using this who are choosing to create, right? Those that are seeing that we all have the ability to do this, regardless of what obstacles like we entered this life with or what we've been faced with. We all have a choice in any point in our journey to choose something different. And we are not limited. We are no longer limited by information. We all have this tool. Maybe it comes easier for some. Some may have more time. You know, it might be harder for some. But we all, the limitations of the past in terms of like where you were born, which parents you were born to, those were much more real. And not to say that people have it harder than others, but I feel like this tool will allow anyone that wants to really create something because it's almost unlimited. And, and then I went into this a really interesting conversation with it about this concept, asking about it. And really it's like, because we've been operating with from this like zero sum game, like there's this limitation that if some of us are abundant, then others cannot be abundant, versus the more of us that are creating, the more abundant we all are. Mm-hmm. And my journey of like really fearing something, like really believing that this is the end of humanity if we go down this path, to beginning to see that that is my fear running the show. And it is scary to like dip your toe into the water and like and trust that it's not going to gobble us up, and you know, some swamp monster is not going to come out and eat us. You know, maybe the robots will take me over, but at the same time, like I'm feeling like I'm creating more, that my mind is expanding, and I think that's a win, right? So that's where my journey has come with AI, and I feel like it's applicable to what we're in right now. It's like if we're in a fear loop, we're imagining, we're catastrophizing, we're thinking the worst case scenario, because maybe we've been programmed to believe that that's what's going to happen. And so it's like, we have to do these things where we can zoom out. We can look at the elephant from the other angle to maybe start to ask questions and like, okay, really like start to explore the things that we're afraid of. And like, is this really the truth that if this happens, like we're, you know, it's the end game for humanity. If this person's becomes a president, or it might feel that way, but is that true? And so I think beginning to explore our fears and about the future, about where we're headed, because we don't know where this is all going, and we can only hope and put our intentions in for the best possible outcome, and trust that it's going to be a positive.
And I think too, what you're really saying is that, you know, we don't know where it's going, and we can get ourselves caught in the fear, but is that the best use of our energy? Is that the best use of our awareness? Is that the best use of our focus? You know, where when we're stuck in that fear and we're cycling through that, and not to say that it isn't fearful out there and you should deny the fear, feel the fear, but let it motivate you. Let it be the thing that asks you to ask that deeper question. And because as much as that has a pull and a power, the opposite side of that is like your ability to bring your awareness out of fear and into potential, right? Potential to me, when we can move ourselves out of the limited space of fear, we move out into the wide open field of like, pure potential. Like it's limitless, it's boundless, like it's completely unknown, right? And that's scary too, but how can you keep yourself open to that? And that's another thing that I wanted to say is, you know, as we move through these times, it's like, how can you keep your heart open? And that's really what we're talking about here, is like, fear wants us to close down our heart. It wants us to contract. It wants us to, you know, shut off. That means we disconnect from people. It means we, you know, put the barriers up around our thought patterns and fortify our beliefs or what we think is right and true. And yet if we can keep our heart open as we see fear, it gives us an ability to hold more, hold the whole experience. It's a practice. It's a really powerful practice. It's where our compassion comes in, our ability to not judge, ability to see the more of the elephant, but it's about keeping our hearts open. And I saw a quote this morning that said, keeping your heart open during times of stress is one of the most powerful antidotes to fear and anxiety, because with our heart open, we're holding it open with love. As we said before, there's love and fear. So curiosity is part of helping you shift, but also can you keep your heart open when you're faced with fear or things that frighten you and feel out of your control? Because when your heart is open, you're allowing what is to be, you're allowing yourself to see the dark and feel within you. I believe when our heart is open, like that's when compassion can arise. You can't feel compassion if your heart is closed. You know, you can't feel a sense of empathy or, you know, a widening of your understanding or more curiosity to see things in a different way if our heart is closed. So keeping our heart open to it all. And Michael Singer speaks about that in his book, The Untethered Soul. Was one of the first places I ever read it. And I remember realizing as I read that how often I close my heart off and in challenging situations, you know, and it was just in my own relationship and my own life and, you know, how I could practice keeping that open. And what a beautiful thing it is, because it does, it opens us up to, you know, more of that emotional maturity, that spiritual maturity, and, you know, how we can hold that hope, hold that sense of possibility as things are hard and as things sort of go, you know, in the mind's opinion to shit or are like falling apart, or it wants to imagine those worst case scenarios. You know, our power lies here in the heart space. That is where we're going to find that place of grounding. That's where we're going to feel stable. That's where our purpose resides. That's where, you know, our authenticity is expressed. So, you know, keeping the heart open as well.
Yeah. And that's such a practice. And I think that we get put into situations so we can repeatedly be challenged to, you know, it's like a muscle in terms of keeping the heart open. I'll say that I guess I just see it as we are attached to our perspective. We have to put up a wall up around our heart to defend our perspective, right? And then that creates this division between us and another person. If they are not aware and choosing to be in their heart, then the division becomes greater. And then they have to attach more to their perspective. And then it becomes this battle where maybe we're battling over something that's not even worth fighting over. Mm. But because it's we feel defensive, I was thinking the dog park, it's you're looking at me the wrong way. I'm gonna look at you. And then it's just it just escalates. Mm. And it's how did we get here? It's where we are on the collective level. But it's when we choose to maybe have an encounter with another person and accept with an open heart that they see things differently than us. And maybe you still hold on to how you see things, but you don't feel the need to tell the other person that they're wrong. Maybe change their perspective. Maybe you say something that does change your perspective. But I think the more that we try to change another person's perspective, the less effective we are. And so at every moment that we're in these situations, we have the ability to work on opening that heart and not allowing ourselves, another person to go to different sides of the issue, being very polar. And instead, if we can stay in the center of maybe questioning, curiosity, acceptance of other ways of seeing things, then a lot of times that will shift something in another person where it's like, oh, I don't need to be so argumentative about this topic either. Or next time it's we have the ability to have this ripple effect in just these daily interactions where we decide to come to it from an open heart versus the need to you know, put up our antlers and go butting heads with one another. And, you know, I've been in both situations, so I know what it's like, you know, and I feel very attached to something. But, you know, over the years, it's become a lot, it's a lot more enjoyable to not feel the need to argue. And, you know, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I've come a long way in my journey. So yeah, that heart space is very powerful. And the more we play in it, the like we know what it feels like to be there versus that constricted energy. And I think just doing that, that can have a huge impact on the larger collective because, you know, like I said, we influence the other person just by, and if we want to know like what we can influence, it's like, that's what, that's the way we can influence.
Yeah. And I mean, and coming back to even that, like those circles, right? Like in that space, when we in that circle of influence, like with our heart open, we're creating a deeper connection with a human because we're allowing them to have their say without that judgment or I'm right, you're wrong, you know, and we can enter into a space where we can have proper dialogue. We can consider each other's views. We can come at it from, you know, this exactly as you said, ability to maybe like maybe just even the maybe consider more, you know, and just know that we don't know everything. We're not always right. No, doesn't mean that the other person is and you're wrong or any of that stuff. It's just that there's so much nuance to this whole thing and everybody's experience. And so if we can hold on less tightly and rigidly to the things that we believe or perceive, you know, and the thing that you said before, like, is that true? Like, ask ourselves the questions, you know, like so many things that we can ask, is that really true? And in anything that we believe, there's some of it's true, but there's a lot that we don't know, right? Like we, there's so much we don't know. And so if we can even open ourselves to that space, we can open our hearts and be like, okay, well, I'll allow more information. I'm open to receiving more insight. I'm open to seeing things in new ways, like that can help me get a bigger picture. And like, that's the expansion. That's the opportunity. That's the potential we have to, you know, change our experiences.
Yeah. I think the more that I go on, it's like the more that I realize, like, is this true or this true? I'm like, it could be either. I don't know. Like this, that's the story that I grew up with, but that could also, I could see that being true. Maybe the truth is in the middle and maybe there's like, the truth is something very different. Like the more that I go on, the more it's like, because the more that we see like the truth of what we have perceived it to be like, well, that, you know, we have an awakening to, okay, that was not the truth. And I think the more that we have awakenings in that regard, it's like the more we can hold as possibility and the more that we hold as possibility, the more that we can shape the future versus being very rigid in terms of like, this is how it is. And this is how the future is going to be. It's going to be very much like it is right now. And for that person, that might be the case, right? Because there's not any imagining going on. And so, yeah, I feel like hopefully people listening maybe can understand why someone might feel hopeful about this time, despite what might, maybe it feels to you like it's not very hopeful. And maybe for others it is, but if you're in the camp of you're wary of where things are going, it's like, hopefully this maybe gave you an example or an insight into why we can feel like there is a better future ahead. One with more possibility, more with more thriving and more abundance, less dysfunction, you know, high functioning, or, you know, like let's frame it in the positive. Or if you feel more hopeful, definitely let us know. And you have anything else that you want to add to the conversation, Kate?
No, just to back off what you said, you know, for anyone listening, we'd love to hear, you know, what's come up for you. Has this inspired some hope? Like, where do you find yourself in this moment? What are you moving through? We'd really love to open up the conversation to our listeners. So leave us a comment, let us know your experiences. And all experiences are valid. You know, as we said, there's an elephant in the room and we're looking at it all from a different perspective and we've all come at it from different journeys. So, you know, everything is valid. And so, yeah, we'd just love to hear where you're at and what you're moving through.
Awesome. Thanks for the conversation, Kate.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll join you in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.